for the special music and the sermon, Mr. Frank Morang.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be back in Tyler again. And the name of the song is Rise Again.
Go ahead, drive the nails in my hands, laugh at me, where you stand, go ahead, say it isn't me, they will come, and you will see. 'Cause I'll rise again. Ain't no power on earth can tie me down. Yes, I'll rise again. Death can't keep me in the ground. Go ahead, mark my name, my love for you is still the same. Go ahead, bury me, but very soon I will be free, 'cause I'll rise again. Ain't no power on earth can tie me down. Yes, I'll rise again. Death can't keep me in the ground. Go ahead, say I'm dead and gone, but you will see that you were wrong. Go ahead, try to hide the sun, but all will see that I'm the one. 'Cause I'll rise again. Ain't no power on earth can keep me down. Yes, I'll rise again. Come to take my people back. Come to take my people back.
If you want a title for this sermon today, it's The Sabbath. Is it a burden or a delight? You know, the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the Colossian church. And in Colossians 2, he wrote some instructions about the Sabbath and the holy days. But I want to give you a little information about that before we turn there and read the scripture. These people that he wrote the letter to were Gentiles. They had just come out of paganism, and they had started keeping the Sabbath and the holy days. And in Colossians 2:16, I'm just going to try to quote some of this here. Colossians 2:16, he's telling them, therefore let no one judge you in food or in drink or in respect of a holy day or the new moon or the Sabbath day. And what he's telling them is, don't let your former friends, those still in paganism, Don't let them judge you for your keeping of the Sabbath and the holy days. And he calls it respect, in respect of the holy days. And I've a lot of people have tried to use this to say that nobody's supposed to judge us for keeping or not keeping the Sabbath or the holy days. And that's not what it's saying at all. I've told people before, when you respect a day, do you respect it by keeping it or not keeping it? And yes, you keep the day out of respect for God. What does it mean to respect the Sabbath? I looked it up and I got this definition. Admiration felt toward a person or thing that has good qualities. And, you know, a person can appreciate the respect we show them, and a thing cannot. A thing cannot. Today, we are going to take a trip down memory lane. Back to when we were first converted. We will find out, maybe, if our keeping of the God's Sabbath was more pleasing to God then than the way we're keeping it today. And why God says he wants us to respect his Sabbath day. Remember how it was when you were first converted? Remember how it was when you first found out the truth about God's Sabbath? And remember how hard we all tried to please God by the respect we showed his Sabbath back then. We were dedicated, zealous, really. Our biggest part of the people were. And I remember how it was for me, and what a thrill it was the first time I got to go and be with God's people on the Sabbath. It was a big thrill. We were zealous and dedicated. Now, we traveled 85 miles one way, and we didn't miss any Sabbaths. we found a way to go and keep the Sabbath with God's people. And at that time, I joined the Spokesman's Club, and so I traveled once again in the middle of the week, to 85 miles one way and back again. And then every other week we had a Bible study, and we traveled again one more time that week, three times that week, 85 miles one way. And now I had just quit the best job I ever had as far as money wise was concerned. To keep the Sabbath. And we didn't have a whole lot of money. It was kind of scarce around our place at that time. So we traveled with another family, Bombers. And we took turns driving. Now, there was 4 adults and 6 children and a 2-seated car. That's 10 people. And 2 of those children were pretty good sized. So we had 3 in the front seat, 3 in the back seat. And where do you think we put the 4 extra children? I've told people before, we had the original 4 on the floor. And, you know, back in the parent organization, the ministers pretty well told us what to do and what not to do on the Sabbath day. A lot of do's and don'ts. And they were trying to keep us from breaking the Sabbath. And they didn't trust us to make our own decisions. They made our decisions for us and told us exactly what to do and what not to do on the Sabbath. And I know a lot of the church people thought that, man, if I can please the ministers, I'll be pleasing God. That I've heard ministers say this. Maybe just one, but I heard it. And he says, whatever a minister tells you to do, you do it. If it's wrong, it's our fault. And that's right. It will be his fault, but it'll also be our fault if it's wrong, too, for going along with something that was wrong. So, yeah, it was wrong. We put too much trust on our ministers to tell us exactly what to do and what not to do. Now, when we left that parent organization in 1978, we went with the CGI. Now, the ministers were not telling us the do's and don'ts of the Sabbath. Oh, they told us. They told us what it said in the Bible about it. But then they left it up to us. It was our decision, and that's the way it should be. Between us and God, not us and the ministry. The ministers told us what God said, and then they left it up to us. But we, of course, a lot of us, being human, we have a tendency, when we get a little freedom, we go to extremes and we take a lot of freedom. And some of us started probably doing some things we shouldn't do on the Sabbath and so on, which is what that's the way it goes. When you get a little freedom, then you go too far. Since the Sabbath says the Sabbath was made for man, we get to thinking that, boy, we can do anything. It was made for us. But it is not our Sabbath day. It is God's Sabbath day. It belongs to God. And in Ezekiel 20, I'm not going to turn there. I'm just going to, you ought to read that Ezekiel 20 all through there. God says, my Sabbath day, and so on. And I know I've had some friends. I used to sing with the quartet for many years, long, long time ago. And I sometimes still drink coffee with a couple of them, but then one of them has died and one of them has had a stroke and he can't even talk. So I'm the only one still singing. But when we were all getting together, I know they've said, well, we don't keep Frank Sabbath. They was telling somebody this. We don't keep Frank Sabbath. I said, wait a minute. That's not my Sabbath you're not keeping. That's God's Sabbath you're not keeping. I don't have a Sabbath. That's God's Sabbath. So, of course, still none of them are come along, though. Well, why does God say he wants us to keep the Sabbath? Why? Does he tell us why he wants us to do it? Yes, he does. And it's in Exodus, the 20th chapter. And verse 8, says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day of the Sabbath, the Lord your God, in it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. And then he tells you why. Because in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. He said, I set you an example that you should do as I have done. He said, because I did this, you do it. You do it too. And now my version, it says because, but I wrote that in. It says for, really, for in 6 days. But it could just as well be because. Because in 6 days the Lord God made the heaven and the earth. Yes. So that's why God says to keep it. Said, because I did, I set you an example, and I want you to do it. And in Exodus 31, Exodus 31, verse 12. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak also to the children of Israel, saying. Now, in this identifies who our God is. This identifies the identity of our God. Surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generation, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you or sets you apart. I'm the one who sets you apart. You keep this Sabbath. When you keep the Sabbath day, yes, you know that the God of creation is the one that sets you apart, because he created the day. And it goes back to creation. And then it says, you shall keep Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, the person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the seventh day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. So, yes, it identifies who we worship, what God we worship, the God of creation. Now, a lot of people think that the Sabbath is just for, well, they say Jews, but just for the Israelites. But turn over to Isaiah 56. Starting in verse 1. Thus said the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who lays hold on it, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Do not let the son of the foreigner, the Gentile, who had joined himself to the Lord, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people, nor let the eunuch say, here I am a dry tree, for thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant. Even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also, the sons of the foreigners, the Gentiles, who join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. For all nations. God set us an example. Like there, it says, action speaks louder than words. And God set us an example back there and says, you do as I have done. Well, Jesus Christ also set us an example over in Luke 4 and verse 16. Speaking about Jesus Christ, it says, so he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And in 1 Peter 2:21, it says, Christ left us an example that we should follow in his footsteps. So, yeah, we should follow Christ's footsteps to the Sabbath day. Now, is God really interested in the day we keep? A lot of people think, well, one day in seven, as long as you keep one day in seven, that's fine. Or Sunday's probably better, since they say Christ was resurrected on Sunday, and so that would be better. But turn over to Numbers, the 15th chapter. Number 15. And over in about verse 29, says, "You shall have one law for him who sins unintentionally, for him who is native-born among the children of Israel, and for the stranger who dwells among you. But the person who does anything presumptuously, whether he is a native-born or a stranger, that one brings reproach on the Lord, and he shall be cut off from among his people." Presumptuous sin. That's just like saying, "I know this is wrong, I'm going to do it anyway." Even though God says no, a presumptuous sin would be telling God, "Yeah, I'm going to go do this anyway," even though you says it's not. And 31, he says, "Because he has despised the word of the Lord and has broken his commandment, that person shall be completely cut off. His guilt shall be upon him." And then he gives an example of a presumptuous sin here. "Now while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. They put him under guard because it had not been explained what should be done to him. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'The man must surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp.' So as the Lord commanded Moses, all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died." So, you know, in 2 Peter 3 and verse 8 says, "With God, one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day." So, as God counts time, between 3 and 4 days ago, he had a man put to death for wrecking the Sabbath day. And now the people say, "Well, it doesn't make any difference which day we keep. As long as we keep 1 and 7, why, that's good enough." You know, I had to give up the best job I ever had so I could keep the Sabbath. After going through so much to keep the Sabbath, I don't understand how some people can lose respect for the Sabbath day. And I know of some that have. A person I was telling you, we rode to church together. Yeah, not doing anything. Now, they're still real good friends. We go out and eat with them and so on. And I keep hoping. And I want to keep setting the right example, keeping God's commandments, so that he will know maybe one of these days and maybe he'll come back. Resting, you know, it said resting on the Sabbath day. Resting is not the only thing God tells us to do on the Sabbath. He tells us to get together on the Sabbath day. But some people, still, they like to stay home and just listen to a tape. Said, "Well, if I go to church, I'll listen to the same thing. It's on tape here." But that's not what it's all about, brethren. In Leviticus 23:1, it said, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts of the Lord which you shall proclaim to be holy convocation, these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of solemn rest.'" A holy convocation on the Sabbath day. We're to have a holy convocation. Now, only God can make something holy. So, what makes a convocation holy? Well, over in Exodus 3, I'm not turning to this either. Moses is at the burning bush, and God tells him, "Moses, take your shoes off, for where you stand is holy ground." What made the ground holy? God's presence. And brethren, that's what makes a convocation holy, is God's presence. And I've told the people in Wichita before, I said, "Now, God's going to be here. He's what makes the convocation holy. God's going to be here. Are you?" I said, if you want to be where God is on the Sabbath day, you're going to have to go where they're having a holy convocation. And So, yes, we are to have a holy convocation on the Sabbath day. And it makes a lot of sense, brethren, because we need to get together. We need the fellowship we get when we get together. Fellowship is worth as much as a sermon. Fellowship is worth as much as a sermon. You get together, and it says, well, let me read it here in Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10 and verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Yeah, we're to stir up love and good works when we come together. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and this could be encouraging one another. Hang in there. It ain't going to be too long now. Yes, exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And, yes, we are to come together on the Sabbath day. Now, I know that some people are not able to get together. When I took some baptizing tours here a few years back and so on, up in the North Country, North and South Dakota and Montana, Wyoming. Yeah, those people, they lived so far apart, it wasn't possible for them to get together on the Sabbath day. And so, some people, yeah, listen to a tape, yeah, that's fine when you can't make it. But if it's just because we're lazy, we don't want to get dressed, and don't want to get cleaned up, don't want to shave, and so on, then I don't think God is too pleased with that kind of an attitude. And do we want to help the Church of God get this gospel out to the world, or are we just along for the ride? Just riding along. You know, the church is God's people. Do we want to help them make it into the kingdom? Every one of us. Yeah, we should all encourage one another. We all want them to make it. And yes, when we show up for Sabbath services, yeah, it helps. It helps. You know, I'm going to take this time to make an analogy of what I'm going through here and the Church of God. Whitewater rafting. I heard about that sometimes. Somebody said they went whitewater rafting here. So I did the same thing back a few years back. Us and the Palmers took our trailers and went out to Colorado. And I think he talked me into it, but then... We went whitewater rafting, boatload of people, and I want to compare this boatload of people to the Church of God and the people in the church. Now, in the boat, we were all expected to do something. You know, you get your real rough stuff, and then you'll have a calm in there. When you do, you got a rope. And we were all expected to row the boat to get us to our destination. And it's in the Church of God. Yeah, we need to help each other to make sure we all make it to our destination, the kingdom of God. You know, now Merle Palmer and I were in the back, the very back. And that's the worst place, really. I didn't know that when I got in, but you know, when you go over those waves, it has a tendency to flip. And lots of times I found myself standing up. I mean, I couldn't sit down. I was standing up. And if the boat moved side by side, I was gone. And the boat behind us, they lost some people out of their boat. I was the one time Well, when we'd hit the real rough water, the head oarsman, he would holler, just hang on now, because the water's really getting rough. And I got thinking, man, we've had some rough waters in the church here in the past few years. And not right recent years, but then before that, we had some real rough waters that we had to go through. And, we just had to kind of hang on. And if I hadn't been paying attention, I would have got thrown out. And one time, I did the flip. I was standing up and I was going over. I was going over the side. Merle Palmer reached and got me by the belt and pulled me back in. Now, that's what we should do in the church. Help people. I mean, if you see somebody that may be going out, pull them back in. Keep them in the boat. And, we had to help one another out there. And that's what we should be doing, brethren. That's what we should be doing. Yeah, we need to encourage one another. I know I've told people at Wichita before, and I'll tell you the same thing. It encourages me just to see you people here. Gives me encouragement. You know, we can't do that if we stay home and listen to a tape. We have to come together. We have to get involved. To become involved, we need to be in the church on the Sabbath. We can't just go along for the ride and expect to stay in the boat. Turn over to Luke 19. Luke 19, verse 11. Now, as they heard these things, he, speaking about Jesus Christ, spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem, because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. He's explaining this because they thought the kingdom would return right away. Now, this is a parable about himself. This is a parable about him and his servants, brethren. Noble went to a far country to see for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 pounds, pound apiece, and said to them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we'll not have this man to reign over us. Now his citizens are not his servants, brethren. These are different people. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Master, your pound has earned 10 pounds. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. Second came, saying, Master, your pound has earned 5 pounds. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. Now, this here doesn't mean that if we gain that much, we're all going to be over 10 cities and so on. This is just our reward is going to be equal to how much we've gained. And not necessarily that we're going to all be over 10 cities or so on. And then another came saying, Master, here is your pound, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief, for I feared you, because you are an austere man. You collect what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said, if you'd just have done a little bit with it, you would have made it. And all he would have had to have done was try. If he had tried to do something even. Yes, that counts too, trying. And he said to those who stood by, take the pound from him and give it to him who has 10 pounds. But they said to him, Master, he has 10 pounds. For I say to you that to everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Now, this is about Christ and his servants. Who are his servants, brethren, today? That's us. That's us. And what has he given us? A little portion of his Holy Spirit. I say a pound. Pound of the Holy Spirit. And he said, do business till I come. And when he comes back, he wants to know how much we have gained. How much we have gained. Now, I don't know that necessarily means in Holy Spirit. I don't know. I've thought maybe that it could be that we gain in Holy Spirit as we use it. As we use it. I've gave the analogy before, like leavening. When you use that Holy Spirit, see, it's taken over. It's already, when he gave it to us, it's ours as a free gift. And it takes over a part of our spirit at that time. And it's got our personality in it. But also, they dwell in there too. They dwell in there too. As it says over in John 14. I didn't have this in my notes, but I know it's there. 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So, yeah, they're in there, brethren. And, yes, they want to know, he'll want to know how much we've all gained by using what he's given us. And how do we use the Holy Spirit? The only one way, brethren. It says God is love. Yeah, the Holy Spirit is love too. And it goes out of us as love. We got to use it. And it flows through us, as it says back there in John 7. Holy Spirit flows through us like rivers of living water. And how does it get out of us? As love, brethren. Love. For back towards God by doing his will, by keeping his commandments and so on. And out to our brethren in the church. Yes. That especially there. It says over in Galatians 6 and verse 9 and 10. It says, do not be weary with well-doing. But as you have the opportunity, do good to all men, but especially to those of the household of faith. So, yes, we are to use that Holy Spirit, loving our brethren. And if you love your brethren, you will want to help them. And you help them by coming and fellowshipping with them and encouraging each other and so on. Yeah. It makes a difference, brethren. So, we need to get involved. We need to get together just as often as possible. Yes, we need to help one another. Encourage one another. And we may be the one, brethren, that keeps another of God's people from getting thrown out of the boat. Now, like I say, I know there are times when it's proper to miss a Sabbath service. But if we're missing it just because we don't want to put forth the effort to go, why, I don't think he's going to appreciate that. And like I said before, you know, I have never lost my respect for the Sabbath day. And I delight in it, in the Sabbath day. And it never was a burden to me, and it isn't anymore. And I don't think it ever will be. But the Sabbath is a delight, and that's the way all of us should look at it. And try to be in Sabbath services every week. You know, I said at the start of this sermon a person can appreciate the respect we show toward them,
a thing cannot.
And the Sabbath is a thing, so it cannot appreciate the respect we show toward it.
But, brethren, its creator sure can.
So, to keep all of us respecting the Sabbath, we need each other to encourage one another. And I'm gonna wind this up. And you thought I was through singing, but I'm not. This song goes along with what I was saying, and it's just a part of a song. And the title of it is "No Man Is an Island."
No man is an island. No man stands alone. Each man's joy is joy to me. Each man's grief is my own. We need one another, so I will defend each man as my brother, each man as my friend. No man is an